Welcome to Swala Nyeti, the law podcast that pairs a layman and a lawyer to answer your legal questions of the day. Swala Nyeti is sponsored by the law firm of Kigwata & Company Advocates and is intended for educational purposes only.
Welcome to episode 35 of Swala Nyeti. I am the lawyer, aka Wakili Harry Karanja.
And I am the layman, Keshao Patrick.
Good day, Keshao.
Wakili, how are you, man?
I'm very well.
Did you get a missed call from the studio manager last week on Friday?
Yeah, but I saw it so much later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, after I launched my singing career in this very studio on Friday,
yes,
I got a call from the studio manager. So apparently,
yes,
because of my good singing voice,
yeah,
the audio we recorded that morning,
yes,
was so big,
yeah,
and he decided to cut and paste,
yes,
so that he can edit it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, the computer hung.
Okay.
And when he's checking on the phone, on the SD card,
yes,
the audio was not there.
Yeah.
And he had not pasted on the computer.
Okay.
So he was calling us to come back.
But we didn't come back, and yeah, I had it published.
Miraculously, when he unplugged the phone from the comp and checked, the audio was there.
Ah.
Otherwise, I would have come to sing for you again. On Friday.
Yeah, thank goodness that did not happen.
Yeah. I don't know whether you sing because I sing too well or what, but anyway, yeah.
Well, you can infer the meaning you will from that.
So, a very interesting question, as we had said yesterday.
Yes, let's make sure it gets properly recorded.
Yeah, please.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm giving the manager some side eyes. So the question is it possible to sexually harass a male junior employee if it was consensual? So here we go, please make my name confidential. I work as a senior executive in a tech startup which has Silicon Valley investors. In my role, I work with junior energetic male engineers in demanding but rewarding assignments. It is normal that after work we have drinks in the office bar, where I am happy to buy one or two for the guys. One of my engineers at times would get carried away after drinks and made several sexual advances at me since I am divorced. I didn't encourage the flirts, and I always kept boundaries in the office. However, in this male-dominated industry, I still hung out with them because it helped me build their trust since they considered me as one of the boys. In August, when travel was opened, we went for a team building in the coast. As it came to an end, I stayed behind for a few days, and so did this engineer. In fact, I'm the one who approved his leave. One thing led to another when we slept together, and several weeks afterwards we would meet at my place for sleepovers. Fast forward to last week, and out of the blue, I got a letter from HR being accused of sexually harassing this engineer. Can I be fired for this?
Okay, so let me see if I understand this situation. We have a lady who has written in to us, and she is asking whether she can be fired for a claim of sexual harassment. And what happened is that she normally works with younger male engineers, and it's occasional that after they finish their assignments, they have a few drinks, and one engineer specifically has been propositioning her. She says that she didn't encourage it, but she maintained a friendly attitude towards them because the nature of the work requires it. But later, when they went for a trip to the coast, she stayed behind with him and they started an affair. Now, she has received a letter accusing her of sexually harassing the engineer, and she wanted to know whether she can be fired for this.
Yeah, too many things in this case. First, in vino veritas, when people drink, the real them comes out. First, I can't even imagine hitting on my boss. Second, I think what happens in the coast stays in the coast. When you go for these team buildings, it's not the first, it's not the last. We should, you know, like, mind your business. So if you have a pass on your boss, I mean, keep it that way. So this thing of this man, what is he looking for? Money? I don't understand. As in, this should be something that should never have made its way to the office.
Okay, so the lady's concerns here are the ones we are going to deal with. We don't know what the gentleman's intentions are, But nonetheless, sexual harassment is a serious charge. In fact, sexual harassment is probably one of the most egregious infringements of a person's rights. It can also be intentional tort, meaning that there could be consequences for this. Here we have a lady who is asking whether or not she can be fired.
Yeah.
And I think for us to answer her adequately, we need to dig a bit deeper and establish if in fact there was a sexual harassment as per the law. And also, from what she has shared, we need to find out if there was sexual harassment, who is liable for the sexual harassment.
When you say who is liable, I wonder, do you mean the HR, the organization with the Silicon Valley investors, the lady or the guy? It could even be the guy.
Actually, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You see, if you look at what she has said, is that before they went for this holiday, he was making advances towards her.
Yeah.
And for us to see whether or not any of these things fit within the scope of sexual harassment, let's do our usual and look at the ingredients of sexual harassment.
There we go again. How many now?
So what will determine whether something is sexual harassment or not fits in two broad categories. Mm-hmm. The first, of course, is people who ask for sexual favors. Mm-hmm. That is usually considered as sexual harassment. And the second is people who use inappropriate or unwelcome sexual language or sexual images.
Okay.
So let's see, in either of these two categories, if the actions of the person who was written in, or even the male engineer,
yeah,
can fit. And when we talk about people asking for sexual favors, keep in mind that it doesn't have to be direct. Okay? It could even be indirect. And it doesn't have to be sexual intercourse. It could be even sexual contact or any other sexual activity.
Okay. And
if someone is asking for these sexual favors, that means they are usually asking with an implied or an express promise.
Like,
with regards to the employment.
Yes.
Or threat.
Okay.
Okay, so either if you can do these actions, you'll either be hired, you'll get a bonus, a promotion, or on the alternative, you'll be fired, you'll be suspended, you'll get a demotion.
Now, in that case, it means the person above is the one making those promises or threats.
Correct. So
what
this
is the person below? Just a question. What if it's a young person, a newly person, employed, telling the boss, I would like a promotion, but I can't give this.
So, as I've mentioned before, you either offering, you're promising to do something, or you're threatening to do something.
So it's just safe to say it either way. It can be the senior doing that, or the junior doing it.
What would the junior be promising or threatening?
They could be promising sexual favors.
No. That is already established. So in exchange of those sexual favors, what are they threatening or promising?
Oh, I see. So the sexual favor cannot be the promise.
It cannot.
It cannot be the promise.
Correct. But it's still possible for a junior to fit in this category if, as is common in many organizations which have evaluations, 360 degree evaluations, despite the junior having lower
ability to give a promise or a threat.
Yes, they might still be able to. They might still be able to give an evaluation upon which
I see the boss
would suffer. And I know there are organizations which require that before a boss is promoted or gets some other benefit, the juniors are the ones who actually interview the boss.
I see.
So unless it's such a situation.
So what would be the reward, the promise or the threat?
The threat would be, unless you provide me these sexual favors, I will give you a poor evaluation.
I see.
And prevent you from getting a promotion.
Okay.
But it's more common the other way around.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's the first category. So I've said the second category is when you use sexual language. Okay.
And inappropriate. It's
exactly. Whether it is written or spoken, but it's something which is of a sexual nature.
Okay.
Okay. And you're right. It could be pictures. Okay. or it could be behavior, okay, mm-hmm. of a sexual nature. And this behavior or this language must be unwelcome or offensive to the person who is receiving it.
Must be unwelcome or offensive?
To the person who is receiving it. Okay? And by its nature, it can have a detrimental effect to that person's employment mm-hmm. or their performance of their job or even how satisfied they are in their job.
Okay. That makes sense.
Now, let's look at these two situations to see what fits.
Just a question out of the blue.
Yes.
If these advancements, the category number two,
mm-hmm.
are made outside the work context.
Yes.
Does it apply? We meet in Westy,
mm-hmm.
in a bar,
mm-hmm.
both of us.
Yes.
But we are employees of the same company.
Okay.
You did, and you have this inappropriate sexual language or something.
So the second category is unlikely to apply. Because if you're meeting in a social event,
yeah,
it means both of you have gone there voluntarily.
Yeah. Okay?
You're not doing it with respect to work.
Yeah.
So you chose to be there. So mm-hmm. it is not unwelcome. Okay? It is not offensive. You have made a decision. Unless you can show that it's something you are told this is an event.
For work.
No, it doesn't have to be for work, but that, you know, it's implied that if you don't come for this event, you are even breaching some social code
yes.
that exists within the workplace. So it's really tricky, and you look at it from case by case. But generally, if these things are happening outside of the work environment, they would not qualify.
Okay, the question I asked, that the reason I asked was because of team building. Because team building always happen, almost always happen outside the confines of the offices.
Yes, outside the office.
It's an organizational thing, but outside.
Yes, you said it right. And the question would be, if he refused to go for this team building or if she refused to go for the team building,
there would be an issue for sure.
Would there be consequences? Mm. So if the answer is yes, then most likely it was something which is still work-related.
Okay. So category number two would come into operation now. If you are harassing me mm-hmm. after hours of teamwork,
yes.
team building,
yes.
but I can't leave Mombasa, mm-hmm. I'm there anyway
yes.
for team building. But yeah. it's not team building time.
Yes. So now, but here you can see, when it came to this affair that they began, the lady who writes in says that it happened while they were both on leave.
Outside. Oh, yeah.
Okay. And
so the team building had come to an end.
The team building had come to an end. And they were on leave, and they were doing this thing outside of the confines of work.
Mm.
But of course, the question would come in is, even though it was outside of work, did the male engineer feel like unless he acceded to this sexual affair, his job could have suffered? So that's one way you can look at it.
Okay.
But in the same light, the lady might also say, but look, he was the one who was making the sexual advances.
Yeah.
Okay. And I felt that these sexual advances were unwelcome. Okay. Because she says that she was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But decided to go along with it because that's what was expected.
Yeah. In of the job environment.
Of the job in. Environment. So she might also be able to claim that she was the one who was being sexually harassed. Although the eventual affair they had was consensual.
Yeah.
The initial advances might have met that threshold of sexual harassment.
Does it apply? Does the sexual harassment apply if there's a subsequent event that was done through consent?
So here it's really going to go down to what evidence is brought in the event that this thing goes to court.
Mm-hmm.
And because there could be two competing claims, usually the law will be whoever alleges must prove. So if he alleges that she was sexually harassing him, then he's the one who must prove these requirements of the sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. However, if she alleges that he was the one harassing her, then she must prove. And the onus is on the person who brings a claim to prove that the claim is true.
So from what I see here, Wakili, this lady was also being sexually harassed by this engineer as much as he's claiming he was being sexually harassed. He was making moves on her, especially during those drink outs. And I don't see why she's afraid of losing her job when it's him who instigated all this.
So when it comes to sexual harassment, I tend to agree with you that it's not very clear who has a stronger claim of sexual harassment, but it kind of tilts in the favor of the lady. But in addition to that, keep in mind that by law, organizations which have more than 20 people in their employment mm-hmm. are also required to have a sexual harassment policy.
More than 20?
More than 20.
Okay.
And this means that she might also be running afoul of that policy in her organization, mm-hmm. which might affect whether or not she is fired.
I see. Okay, then there you have it. The question of about being fired might solely lie on the policy, the sexual harassment policy in the organization you work for. But if it comes to court and you two decide to go to court, then even he might be liable of sexual harassing you. So it's a catch-22, I think, in a sense. Other than that, thank you for everyone who has been listening to the Swala Nyeti. And on behalf of Swala Nyeti, from me, goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to Swala Nyeti. Special thanks to our layman, Gashau Patrick, and our lawyer, Harry Karanja. If you have a legal question that you want answered, send us a WhatsApp message on 07 08 111 222, or email us at admin@swalanyeti.org. You can find downloads to all our podcast episodes on our website www.swalanyeti.org.